Hey, let's just turn our heart and affection to Jesus, man. Jesus, we love you. I think it's just a moment. Just thank him for everything he has done in your life. He saved us and he set us free. Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you for going to the cross for our sins, Lord, so we can be healed in our bodies, our minds, our heart, our emotion, Lord God. Thank you for taking everything to the cross, Lord, and we just love you. Thank you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the truth-giving spirit, and you're the spirit of unity. So we just release your truth and your unity by the power of your word. We love you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Part 10. Yes, part 10. And I already got one for next week. I was like, I'm just going. I have friends in the church, man. We get together and we pray and we ask questions. We chew on the word to bring clarity. And you just got to keep teaching and teaching and teaching to bring clarity. So if you have questions, please let me know because I need to be clearer, and that's a good thing. So I already chopped out like half of it and bumped it to next week. So it's going to be fun. All right. So our authority in Jesus, he's the answer, right? Part 10, what are we talking about? Getting rid of demon termites. Getting rid of demon termites. Has anyone ever had termites in their house? All right. So my husband had bought his grandparents' older home, and when he moved in, he started noticing some strange things chewing on the wood, right? You ever kind of know some strange things? And you're like, oh, please let it not be. So I learned a lot about termites, as Brad was telling me, as we had moved into his home at first when we got married. And I learned some things. So it's interesting. When you see a termite, you need to act fast and get rid of it, right, before they multiply. So do you guys ever know how you get termites? I learned some things. So first of all, we found out with Brad's house, we don't do wood mulch. You know, wood mulch, because it's actually putting wood on the outside of your house that slowly rots. And termites are actually attracted to what? Wood and rotting wood. So we had to do the rubber tire stuff or whatever, learn things about that. So let me just as an analogy here. Sometimes you have to look at the source of where things come from, right? Sometimes things are super far outside your house there. Let me put it this way. If you have some rotting things around you, whether it be in conversations, people, the things we're listening to, we have to learn to guard our eyes and our ears and our conversations from the rot of this world. Truth. You know, sometimes, you know, it's good to educate yourself in the news, but, you know, there's some where it just trashes and slanders, and you turn off and you're angry. It's not a good place to be, right? How do you know? There are people, and I love people. I wouldn't, you can't be in ministry and not love people, truly. And if you are, you need to take a break and just fall in love with Jesus and fall in love with people again. But there are some people that I'll spend some time in a conversation with, and there is so much judgment and criticism and religion and gossip that I just feel dirty at the end of it. And, you know, it puts things in your brain. Oh, you know, I didn't know they did that. You just got to turn that conversation off. It's rot. Because if rot on the outside goes unchecked, what? It can start to seep. So another thing I learned about termites, interesting. Let me put it this way. All right, so trash, if we let trash lay around outside of us, outside of our mind, in the atmosphere, in conversations and relationships around us, things begin to rot. The unrenewed mind is an easy target for demonic influence and just that other voice to come in, right? So, John 10, 4-5 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and the stranger's voice we don't follow." You ever had just a strange voice? It's on the outside. It's a strange voice. It's negative. It's toxic. It's judgmental. It's criticism. It's anger. It's that other voice. And we have a choice of what voice we follow and entertain and obsess on. Because if you're not careful, that toxic thoughts, Satan just likes to throw toxic thoughts at you. Negative ones about your boss, about your spouse. Negative ones about this economy, right? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, they're just this other strange voice. And if you don't squash those creepy, crawly thoughts of unforgiveness, offense, division, if you take the bait and start to cycle on it, come on, anybody know what cycling is? You can communicate the problem, right? You know, you got to be honest. Don't lie to people. I am dealing with some depression, right? You know, depressing thoughts. I'm dealing with some hopelessness. You communicate, right? So people can pray for you, right? But if we obsess and cycle and vent in every conversation, you know, we're going over and over and over again. We talked about it last week. Please go back and listen to it. You create ruts in your brain. And you start going down that path. So these creepy, crawly, toxic thoughts, if you entertain them, they turn into ruts of obsession. You ever talk to someone that's obsessed with an injustice in their life, and they have been talking about it for 30 years to the point when they get on that topic, it causes an instability. They actually stopped acting like themselves, truly. Now, injustice, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. We're to be angry about injustice, right? Okay? But when we obsess and victimize and wrap our identity in it, ooh, that toxic thinking can actually cause a shift in who you are, and it can let some things in. How many people been there besides myself? I got in a place of unforgiveness towards a family member. This is years ago, probably about 10 years ago. And this was not my notes, so I got to just be quiet. I would go to sleep and these thoughts would come of everything they've ever done wrong, anything they've ever done to disappoint me and to fail me and blah, blah, blah. I started getting a pain in my side. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know where ulcers come from? And God told me, he said, you choose to forgive this person right now and you release it. It is affecting your health. I wasn't sleeping. And every time I'd see him, I'd get angry. And then the Lord, I asked for forgiveness for that. And I started being able to sleep. That pain in my side went away. And I started praying, Lord, blessings for them, but how do you see them? And I remember the Lord gave me a flash. It's like he lifted the veil and he put me inside their thoughts for a second. It's okay. And I felt the deep, soul-crushing insecurity and self-hatred this person had. It brought me to tears. And I repented again. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Wow. But here I was judging them, but it was affecting my health, my sleep. That was my choice because I was cycling on it, obsessing about it. Do you hear me? I was allowing that strange voice to align with circumstances, affected my mental health, affected my physical body, and estranged a relationship. And I just needed to forgive because it was so far in the past and I needed to move forward. Not in my notes, but I felt like that was for someone. All right, so when we obsess on these thoughts, it drills like inroads for demonic influence in our life. And I talked about this in week 3, so please go back and listen to it. These toxic thoughts, Dr. Carolyn Leaf is a strong Christian neuroscientist, and she breaks down the science of negative toxic thoughts in your brain, how to renew it. It's powerful. Go listen to her teaching. If you're a science person, you need some facts and line upon line stuff. She is incredible. But when they do brain scans on people that obsess about negative thoughts all the time, it actually shows little dark spots on those scans. It's actually brain damage. Your brain's plastic. And I'm telling you, brain health, you have to take captive your thoughts. It's really powerful, and I might be able to teach on it in future weeks. All right, so where are we going to go here? Termites. Termites follow open roots. They follow water leaks. Did you know this? If there's a water leak in your house, I know everybody's like, oh, if you don't get that fixed and unchecked, those little termites can follow that little water damage. So if you don't take captive those negative thoughts that are weaving their way in your brain, those little demonic voices can start following the little inroads for more influence. And if you let things go unchecked, unforgiveness, offense, strife, envy, sin. James 3:16 says this. It says, where envying and strife is, doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but it's sin. If you allow envy and strife and jealousy, contention, judgment, criticism to just fester, it says this, there is confusion and every evil work. Satan loves following those little inroad toxic thoughts that we obsess about. And he likes the rot. Those demonic voices are attracted to the rot of stench like flies to rot. Does that make sense? Like I said, go back to week 3 because I chopped so much out of my notes for time. So when we hold on to hurts, to unforgiveness, to anger, it can open up some doors in our life. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27 says this, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't hold on to it. It says, for anger, when you hold on to it, gives a foothold to the devil. What does it do? It opens up doors. Rotting things create holes. True. When you let something rot, it starts to what? Turn toxic and start to break down and decompose. It creates holes. So these open avenues of unhealthy holding on to negativity in your life will create these avenues, these doors, this access for deeper, louder, that voice on the outside, that strange voice, right? Because we're obsessing about things. So I'm tying natural stuff to some spiritual stuff because you got to address both, right? All right. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your enemy. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So when we isolate ourselves from, if you have a wound, someone hurt you, and we isolate in that wound, it makes you an easy target. Think about how Satan operates and lions operate to pick off someone in the pack. So listen, if someone in this church has hurt you, forgive them in Jesus' name. Go talk to them. Give them an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Bring clarity. Sometimes people, I say stupid things. I say unclear things. Not my intention to hurt someone. Give me an opportunity to make it right. Raise your hand if you've ever hurt someone, you want an opportunity to make it right. Right? It feels so good to apologize when you've done wrong. It brings freedom. I want to walk in freedom. I don't need to walk in self-righteousness. I'd rather have a right relationship. Does that make sense? So please let them know, and I'll tell you this. I'll give you 1 week, and after that, you're getting petty and you're festering. True. Come on, real talk. When someone talks to you about how you hurt them like 6 months ago, you're like, okay, you're a little petty at that point. But please, if it still is 6 months, talk to them. But really, I'm going to give you 1 week. That's your assignment. People are laughing. I'm like, oh, no. Listen, give them the opportunity to make it right. Ask questions. Okay, not on my notes, for someone else. All right, here we go. All right, so if your house has a termite problem, that doesn't mean the termites own or possess your house. Follow me, right? If my house has a termite problem, it doesn't mean the termites own my house or possess my house, right? So think about this. We are a body. We are a body. That's our house, right? But the real us, our real us is not our body. That's just our house we live in. It's the temple. The real us is the spirit. The spirit man, the spirit person inside of us. That's what spends eternity in heaven with the Lord, right? So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, don't you realize that your body is a temple, a house of Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? What? When we ask Jesus into our life. It says this, you do not belong to yourself. You are not your own. I am God's child. So when I say, Jesus, I put my faith in you. You are the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. I believe in you. I surrender my life to you. Who owns my house? That's right. Termites don't own my house. Jesus owns my house. Now, here's some theology. So I'm going to try to break it down quietly. Clearly. When you surrender your life to Jesus, he owns your house. You are Jesus' most prized possession. Because he bought you with the most precious thing in that we can even wrap our brain around, his very life, the blood of Jesus at the cross. So if you gave your life to Jesus, raise your hand if you are God's possession, okay? Now, your body and your soul, your house, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, that personality, right? If you choose to yield and surrender and obsess about those demonic voices, those toxic thinking, you can open up yourself to demonic influence, oppression, and affliction. And there's lots of levels of it, and I had to cut it out of my notes because I didn't have time. So come back next week. Hear me. If I am a child of God, I've given my life to Jesus. Who possesses my house? Who owns my house? Jesus Christ. So my body, my mind, my emotions or whatever, I can surrender that influence and that control to the other team if I want to, right? And there are levels, because remember, termites, if you let it go unchecked for so long, it can not only fester, but just infest. And that can destroy, I'll tell you, your house, your body, your mind, your mental health, and I'm going to talk a lot about this, your relationships, right? So like a physical house can have different levels of bug problems, right? We have a bug guy at our house. Right? Different levels. Okay, demon termites can influence and affect the outside of your house. If given more inroads of access and time left unchecked, it can gain access to the inside of your house. Remember, it follows the rot. Follows those unhealthy thoughts that you're not taking captive. You're just letting Satan run havoc in your brain. And it can infiltrate and cause great damage. What? To your body? To your mind? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion, your emotional health. I used to struggle with depression and anxiety. Do you know why? Because I would not kick down those thoughts of depression and anxiety. I'd think about it, obsess about it, and how real they were, how valid they were, how they lined up with everybody else of what they had said about me. Anybody else been there? And that's why we need divine intervention, not the bug guy. Who are you going to call? We talked about this last week. Who are you going to call last week? You call in the powerful name of Jesus. And no matter what level of bug problems you have, the answer is always the same. It's always simple, and it's always the most powerful thing on heaven and earth, the name of Jesus. And telling those thoughts, those voices, those influence, the demonic influence that is affecting your life to go in the name of Jesus. Repent for entertaining those thoughts and repeating them, right? And get really built up in the word and in discipleship and shut the door. But I don't have time to go into this, but I was going to say this. If you keep going back to it, you have a repentance problem, because repentance actually means change. It's not, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt our relationship. Yeah, everybody is. It just caused a lot of drama, okay? No, but it actually means I want to change my ways, and I will receive the grace of God, his divine empowerment, to not go in a toxic, damaging direction in my relationships and in my conversation and who I'm hanging out with, but I'm going to make a 180 turn. And I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And I'm going to get some accountability in my life. So I'm going to tell this person, hey, I have a gossiping problem. It hurts everybody else around me. I want you to shut me down when I start to go there. Right? And I'm going to turn off certain things. I'm going to make distance a little bit from some toxic relationships, right? Because I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to get in a grow group where people really know me. Isn't it great? Sherry, Rachel, people really know you. You really know. We're family. We do life together. It's beautiful. We forgive each other. We move on. Why? Because you just let a whole team of people in your life to grow, right? Lane states that marriage grow group, right? We have accountability. People really know me, and I can grow in that accountability, right? All right. So let me put it this way. There are different levels of demonic influence. I'll talk about it next week. All it's the same answer of deliverance and freedom in the powerful name of Jesus. Next week, I'm going to distinguish between what is the difference between demonic oppression, the weight on you that you feel like you're not yourself anymore. It's from the outside, right? Obsession, I kind of covered a little bit, and possession and things like that, which I'm going to kind of hit heavy today. There are deeper levels of being influenced because you can choose to yield to things. Remember the little cartoons, the little angel and the devil on the other side? It's just thoughts, right? You can choose to have a conversation. You can choose to yield. I can choose to take the bait and fall into gossip. I can choose to take the bait and fall into slander. I can choose to take the bait to obsess about the wrongs that people have done to me. All right, so as a Christian, when we continually to choose and yield, I say as a Christian, someone that Jesus owns, your spirit, right? As you continue to choose to yield to this demonic influence and these negative, toxic thoughts, when we choose to entertain, obsess, it creates inroads that can allow partial control even to demonic presence. The truth. You'll know this because it'll mess with your body, how your body functions. Come on, that little ulcer thing that was trying to go on. It's insomnia. You know, exhaustion. You just wake up exhausted all the time while you're not sleeping because you're obsessing about these things. It'll affect your mind, your will, and your emotions, and even your body. But guess what? As a Christian, who possesses me? Who owns the deed to my house? Jesus Christ. Now, as a non-Christian, you can allow over time those thoughts and those obsessions, and you can start to yield your mind, your thoughts, you can start to yield your emotions, and in time, something else can possess and completely control you, period, your body, your mind, and spirit. Everybody follow that? All right. So let's go to the answer here. We are so thankful that Jesus has given us the authority for every level of whatever bug problem you have, to take authority in the name of Jesus and tell it to go in the name of Jesus, right? And set captives free to those that sit in darkness, the Bible says. And to bring healing to all diseases, right? All mental illness, and healing to our emotions, our heart, healing in every capacity of our life. So the Bible says this in Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Your brain is an organ, right? We pray for hearts, we pray for brains, we pray for feet, we pray for knees, right? because he's the healer of all things. There's nothing too big for him. And when we have things that are stealing our peace, like fear, depression, anxiety, we tell it to go in the name of Jesus, right? Be healed in the name of Jesus. These voices go in the name of Jesus. But I will say this, and I don't have time to go into it this week. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you have a demon. Clear? Follow that? Okay. But who's at the root of everything? John 10:10, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's the source of all the bad stuff. But just because someone's sick, you don't cast a demon out of them. Okay, you follow that? You got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's going on. But it's good to address things from a spirit and a natural standpoint, right? Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. There's no formula. You just got to keep tuned into him. Amen? All right. Matthew 16:17 through 18. Jesus gave authority to us in the name of Jesus, in his name, to cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The key to all of this is faith in our identity in Jesus Christ. And that comes to just sitting with him, sitting with your Bible open, talking to him, doing life with him. When we walk closely with him, we build our faith and our close relationship in the power of his name. And Satan, in all of his demonic like cohorts and all the powers of darkness, submit and bow to the name of Jesus spoken in faith. Amen? Why don't Christians utilize this powerful gift of the name of Jesus? We're just apathetic, we're lazy, we're uneducated. And sometimes we're just really insecure because we're not spending a lot of time with him. Insecurity starts to just wash out when you just spend a lot of time with the Lord because you start to see yourself the way he sees you. Amen? So we have to remember Ephesians 2:16, we are joint seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? And he has given us power and authority in his name. To say when anything is trespassing on your body and your mind, toxic thoughts, whatever's going on, to go in the name of Jesus. It's not complicated. He meant it to be very simple because you have to come to Jesus like a child. So the gospel has to be simple. And sometimes you're oversimplifying it. Yes, because the Bible's actually really simple. You can share it. We teach the full gospel to our kids downstairs. Amen. Jesus is perfect theology. We're not supposed to add to it or take away from it. If he did it, I'm called to do it. It's meant to be simple. All right. So we are going to follow Jesus's model, right? So let me tell you this. We talked about it last week. When a demon is just manifesting or just toxic thoughts is coming after you really, really hard, you tell it to be quiet, stop in the name of Jesus, and go. Real simple. All right. So real quick. Listen, if someone is coming to you and they're talking about, hey, I'm like really dealing with like depression. I haven't felt like myself in like months. If you immediately in this conversation go, you have a demon and we need, they stop listening to you. They feel insulted. It's like yelling at somebody, you have an STD. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. And then the wall goes up and the embarrassment and the shame. Let me just give you some pointers, okay? Just some pointers. People tend to be a little more open to the term spirit. It's just a little more open, right? Okay? Satan's at the root of all of it, right? But I want to say this, and God gave me a revelation of this. Don't worry about the name. Call it what it does and what it influences. So in Old English, so my name is Cashman. It actually was rooted in the English word for the person that guarded the cash box. I think that's what Pop explained to me. Okay, that's what we did. So I don't know if we guarded the king's money or something like that. I have no idea. But we have names like Miller. Why? Because they were a miller. Hunter, right? They were the hunters. Okay, the names like Banker, Miller, Cook, Potter, Mason. These are names around York County, right? Because hundreds of years ago, that's what they did. So really simple. If it's causing depression in your life, just call it depression and tell it to go in the name of Jesus. If it's causing anxiety in your life and fear in your life, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Really simple. I want to give you an extreme case because this is why I'm teaching it. I was at a minister's conference, and it was interdenominational. It was a bunch of denominations coming together. But the one hosting it it doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I was there, and I went to the ladies' room because it's women. We go to the bathroom. We go in large groups. It's the way it works, right? So it was on break, and it was just packed. And I'm in the bathroom, and it's women. We take a long time, right? You know, we're powdering our nose and, you know, whatever. So as I walked in the bathroom, I heard a young girl. She looked like she was in her early 20s. I work with young adults, so I'm pretty aware of those things. And she was sharing with an older woman about my, doesn't matter what age, anyway, she was older than her. And she goes, I am really struggling with depression. I just started sharing. It's just been really hard for me. And then the woman, in a good heart, really, she had a good heart, good intentions. She goes, well, listen, I've been trained in a special deliverance ministry. This is the ministry that I've been trained in, I've been called to, and I'm just going to pray for you. Okay, the right heart, just a little bit of an off-track training. Emily, can you come on up here? Because Emily and I, we've known each other since the beginning. This is the original youth group of four girls in my basement, and now she's a leader in our church, and we adore her. But also, I know this is going to be really awkward, and it's not going to affect our relationship. So the lady went to her, and her motive was love, truly. Like, her motive is love. I'm not judging her. But what happened is this. She goes, so I was trained in the special deliverance ministry, okay? And then she goes up and gets in her face. This is in the bathroom, and it's buzzing with women. Goes up in her face like this, and I'm not exaggerating, puts her finger up in her face 2 inches from her nose and goes, what is your name? What is your name? In the name of Jesus, tell me, what is your name? What is your name? You tell me the name. What is your name? In the name. 10 minutes. I, like, stayed there because I'm a little bit of a mama bear. Mom knows. She was in the, right? Raise your hand, Pastor D. I'm not exaggerating. So mom and I are like, mama bears, like, should we get in there? Like, I mean, I'm protective over a young generation because this is why people leave church and don't come back. So I'm, like, kind of standing there. I'm trying to get, like, a little eye contact, and I'm being totally ignored. So I, like, left the bathroom, came back. This is going on for 10 minutes. I watched this girl's face change, and it went from shock. You can sit down. Thank you, Emily. Went from shock to, like, a hurt, like something's wrong with me, embarrassment. I read people really good. I'm watching her face. Come on, you know from people's face. And then it went to, like, she was angry, and then the wall went up. All she needed to do, it wasn't complicated. She didn't need a name of a demon. What was it doing? It was causing depression in her life. She just needed to put her hand in love on her shoulder and just say, in the name of Jesus, I command depression to leave you right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just freshly infill her. We release the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. Prophesy, Holy Spirit, how do you see her? What have you called her to do? You know, listen to this. You just open up the gifts. Because you're getting love and compassion, right? Right? And then you just start prophesying. And how God, and that's where freedom comes. They miss their opportunity. And that's okay. These things happen. The motive was love. It just was off. So that's why I'm taking some time in here. And I'm addressing what extremes, right? The all the time. You know the formula? There is no formula. Listen to Holy Spirit. He will tell you exactly what to do. You hear his voice. But when we formulate something and cause it to be really, really complicated in 20 different steps, and you got to go to literally a week-long training session to learn how to do stuff, we got off track. But the motive's right. They love Jesus. But how many know that that young woman probably won't be coming back to that conference or that church again? All right. So, Jesus. Oh, he's good. Mark chapter 5. Open up your Bibles there, and this is where we're going to land the plane in 30 minutes. Mark chapter 5, Jesus shows a deep love to go way out of his way to minister to the madman of Gadara. That's his name in the Bible. Whew. I would not want that to be my reputation, but you know what? It stands out. So Matthew chapter 5, it's good to read the Bible in context because this is Mark chapter 5, forgive me. But in Mark chapter 4, Jesus was ministering to large crowds of people, and he felt a need to cross the sea for one person. And in that sea, a giant storm erupted. And he told the storm to, like, stop in the name of Jesus, right? And he arrived in this place called the Gadarenes for one man. He loves people so much, he will leave the 99. Where everything's bumping and jumping in revival, and everybody's having a really good time, and lives are being changed for the one person that is bound and chained in darkness. He loves us so much. Matthew's account talks about two possessed men. I don't know why that Matthew focused on the two, but Luke and Mark focused on only one man. I did a little research on it, and those really smart people that have studied it, came to the conclusion that they believed that this deliverance of this man was just so noteworthy. It was so important. It just kind of outshined the other one. Didn't mean that Jesus loved the other one, but it was showing Jesus loves you so much that it's about the individual sometimes. Does that make sense? So sometimes I'll go a little bit of a rabbit trail and I'm like, why am I on this rabbit trail? Because Jesus wanted me to leave the 99 notes for the one person to bring freedom. He loves you so much. He is concerned about you. So let's see. So he wants to focus on the love and value of the one. All right, so Mark 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, they arrived, the boat arrived after crossing the storm, to the other side of the sea in the country of Gerasenes. And the city of Gadara was a very wealthy city with a lot of Greek influence. Did you know we have a lot of influences in our culture now that were not really here 100 years ago? And it's just a cultural shift. How you know that causes some complications in culture and an influence from the outside, okay? So, where am I going here? Okay. This city was in full view of the sea, and it was actually on a slope where the land slopes into the sea, which ties into the story later. So Jesus climbed out of the boat, and a man, quote, possessed by an evil spirit. The Bible says he was straight up possessed by an evil spirit, came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived among the tombs and the grave. This man was plagued by a spirit of death. Meet someone, they're just obsessed with death. That's all they talk about. They almost exude it. Their identity gets wrapped in it. They decorate. They dress accordingly. He was obsessed with this death. He was hanging around dark things that represented death. And there was a spirit of death and self-harm and suicide that was plaguing him. By the way, if you struggle with self-harm and suicidal thoughts, that does not mean you are possessed. Can I clarify this? The outside voice, the strange voice, comes with those thoughts. Clear? But where is it coming from? But if you leave that unchecked, it can really affect your mental health. Follow me? So it says he could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was. Oh, this is horrifying to live your life like that, that you were a danger to society and yourself. He snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So these demons made him violent and a danger to himself and to other people. They gave it supernatural strength. And essentially, modern terms, there was no straitjacket that could hold him. That's terrifying. This is someone's son. This is someone's loved one. This is someone's once best friend. My heart grips how he's living his life. It says for a long time. Luke 8, verse 27, it says, for a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside of town. So these demons had stripped him of everything that he possessed, literally, of his very clothes, of his dignity. And demons like to embarrass and shame people and isolate them from relationships, isolate them from love. So these demons destroyed not only his sanity, but his very life and his family. He was estranged from a community and all meaningful relationships to isolate him from love and belonging and purpose. This was not God's intention for his life. This was not the way his story was supposed to go. And a divine intervention came. Jesus went way out of his way to set this man free. Verse 5 says this, day and night he constantly wandered among the tombs and in the mountains, crying out and cutting himself with sharp stones. The spirit of death and suicide would harass him to the point where he just would harass him over and over until he felt the need to cut himself. It threatened his life. We pray for this a lot in the youth group. We do. Because Satan just harasses them with thoughts that they're worthless, that no one would miss them, that they're gone, that the divorce was their fault. And you're like, where'd you even get that idea? This is an internal voice. And it's not a natural thing because humans by nature do crazy, wild, sometimes even horrific things to survive, right? That it's within to do anything to survive. We watch these survivor stories. So it was an outside voice. It was an unnatural harassment, a bullying. So I want to say this. Revelations 12, verse 10 says, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he will come at you with berating, machine gun, nasty thoughts to beat you up, to give in. Whether it's beat you up to give in, to get violent and, you know, hurt somebody, beat you up to give in, to hurt yourself, beat you up to sever a relationship, beat you up to sever coming to church, whatever it may be. Harassment over and over. So, you know, you can have like a fleeting thought, right? But you know those ones that it's harassing, it just will not stop. I went through 2 weeks of anger. I won't even go into it. But I was getting berated as a pastor that was reading the Bible every day, praying in tongues, you know, listening to worship music. But this little spirit had my number of an injustice of something that I was angry about. And every day throughout the day, I was getting these angry thoughts. Angry. I was having conversations in my head. And when they say this, I'm going to say this. And then I'm going to say this. And I'm not going on. Just being honest. Pastors have these moments, and all day, I finally realized what it was. I was like, oh, this isn't healthy. I'm not possessed. It's another voice, but it's harassing me to get me to sever a relationship. So I was like, Satan, you get out of my head in the name of Jesus. You go. Anger, rage, unforgiveness, bitterness, go in Jesus' name. I was doing it every day throughout the day for 2 weeks until finally, little pig, let me in. Nuh-uh. Finally realized it's not going to get an inroad in my life and let me go. Praise God. So there's different levels, okay? You follow me? So don't think, you got an STD! You know, don't take insult. You know, it's another voice. I don't want to give it place. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right, so I want to say, so for this, if you know someone that is struggling with those kinds of thoughts, I wouldn't go to them and smack my hand on their head and just scream, you got a demon, and da-da. I would ask them, can I pray for you? Can I just put my hand on your shoulder? And I want to tell these thoughts to go in the name of Jesus. Just out of love, right? I don't have to yell. I don't have to shout. And then I'm going to do life with them. I'll tell you what, they're having lunch with me. They're having dinner with me. I'm knocking on their door. We're having coffee. What? I'm bringing them to church, and I'm going to speak love and purpose and peace in life and value in their life. Because I got to come at every thought Satan comes at with them. We got to break that thought off and tell it to go in the name of Jesus and replace it with God thoughts. Amen? So listen, this takes a whole family. It's not just praying from afar in an intercessory prayer. You got to do life with them. This is a real deal. All right, the battle in the mind. Here we go. So this man was completely overrun, infested, tormented by demons. And I will say this, it actually says there's like an army of demons in him. But it didn't matter how many demons were in him. Nothing could keep this man from coming to Jesus for freedom. You hear that? Nothing could stop him from saying, Jesus, I need you. Free me. How do we know this? It says this in verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him and ran to meet him and fell to his knees and bowed to him in worship. Demons don't worship Jesus. They don't. The man, the real man, came to surrender. Sometimes we fall on our knees. I do that sometimes when I'm feeling a little bit in my head. I just have to surrender. It's just a symbol. I fall to my knees sometimes. Jesus, I surrender it all. So this man still had enough free will to choose to surrender his life to Jesus past an army of demons. This is good for people to hear. The fact that the man chose to run to Jesus, not from Jesus, he's still in there. Now, there's no demon that can possess a person enough to exert past their free will that they can still make a choice to surrender, even if it's symbolically. Now, if a person is possessed and does not want to be free, that is their own free will to not. Maybe they draw a sense of power and identity from that demonic force, such as maybe an occult leader, a psychic, a witch, someone that wants voices in their life because they feel powerful and important. Now, there's a lot of people that they don't know the answer. They don't know of Jesus, so you better tell him. And my dad had a minister. Anyway, thank you, Lord. Side note, next week. Anyway, you can have someone that is involved in the occult and doesn't know the true loving power of Jesus Christ. And once they do, they go, I want out. I want him. They have a choice, okay? All right. So it says this, verse 7, with a shriek he screamed. And I'm not going to use a dramatic voice and creep people out. But it says, with a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. You know, demons do believe in Jesus, right? They know what's up. This demon-possessed man couldn't stop the demons from speaking out of him, though. He wanted to give his life to Jesus, but he couldn't stop him from talking. But the demons knew that their fate was sealed and they were about to get kicked out. So they're desperate, they're frantic, they're just, you know, freaking out right now. Verse 8, it says, "For Jesus had already said to the spirit, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.'" Did it say he screamed it at him? Did it say he shouted it at him? Did he say he threw holy water at their face? Got the cross? No, don't get your theology from movies. It's ridiculous. Okay, so they knew their fate was sealed, and Jesus was already like, "Hey, you need to go in my name," right? He had already said to the spirit, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Now, this is where I need to do a teaching thing, so stick with me. Key note, Jesus had already told the demon to go. He wasn't intending to talk to the demon. He was intending to talk to the man. Because what he wanted to do was restore value, identity, purpose to this man that had lost everything. He wasn't trying to give value, importance, and identity to a demon, one of many. Jesus asked him then, "What is your name?" He's not talking to the demon, he's talking to the man. He had already told the thing to go. But we find out here that there was like an army of them. So this is where a teaching that got off track, I'll just say this, it's off track teaching, the need to identify every demon by name. So we find out this demon said, "Hey, I'm Legion." Legion was like, you know, the spokesman of the group, the leader of the club says, "Hey, we're many." Legion actually translates anywhere from, depending on the time period, 2 to 3,000 up to 6,000 demons. A lot of people say it's about 6,000 was a Roman legion, right? So how long is it going to take you to cast out 6,000 demons by name? I don't have time for that. And I really don't have time, and I don't care what your name is. Y'all need to go. This man has been harassed, and years of his life have been stolen. I don't need to spend a month finding out what every demon name is, because they're just going to panic knowing they got it kicked out, and they're going to waste your time, and they'll give you 3,000, 6,000 names. What did Jesus do? "I already told you to go." What do you do? All right. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to make sure I cover this. Demons are liars, and they want to waste your time, and they will. I'm not supposed to have a conversation with a demon. Why? Because they're liars. I'm supposed to have a conversation with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will tell you what's up. Holy Spirit will give you a word of knowledge, how they got there, what door got opened, who did what to them. He'll tell you. I don't need to ask a demon for it. Have your conversations with him. Is that clear? Okay. It's all right. All right. I have researched some long-standing, very respected ministers that have powerful ministries of healing and freedom, deliverance, disciple. They're just doing it all. But powerful ministries documented. And they have concluded this. They said this. They said they firmly agree and believe their conclusion that Jesus was not intending to have this long conversation with a demon. But he was intending to talk to the man to restore identity, value, and connection with the man. Follow me, because you're going to see what he does for the man right after, and you understand why. So demons, there were very many of them, and they were still there. So the demons answered for the man instead, and the demon replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." So the spokesperson, the strong man's like, "Hey, there's a ton of us in here." And the evil spirit then begged him again and again not to send them out of the country. He's just buying time. Why? Here's this. Okay, so Roman legion just means up to like 6,000 soldiers, right? That's just a term for amount of numbers. All right. Why is he so concerned about getting kicked out of the country? All right. I'm like jumping ahead in my notes here. Okay. You only have authority if you physically walk this earth. Demons that don't have a physical person that they are influencing have no authority to ruin anybody else's lives. He wants to stay. He had a plan within that region. Those demons wanted to stay in that region and harass. So he's like, okay, we're not allowed to be in this man. Okay, we just panic. There was a herd of pigs over there. Can we go on the pigs? Whatever. Go in Jesus' name. Okay. Said verse 11, it says, "There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them." So demons are parasites. They need to host to usurp authority. They have no authority. Remember, Satan had to steal our authority. They have no authority. So did you know a pig had more authority than a demon? because it was a physical body. And he wanted to stay in the region. So it bought him a couple minutes, seconds maybe. That's all, because what happened? These were demons that caused insanity and death. Okay? So they had these little pig brains to work with here. It says, so they were basically just desperate to stay in the region, but they failed. Jesus knew this. Verse 13, so Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside, which is right by, into the lake, and they were drowned in the water. Remember, what were these spirits trying to do? Death, suicide, self-harm. And it just drove these pigs crazy. So why is all this being documented? Because the name and the power of Jesus Christ, an army of demons, of 6,000 demons, was nothing. Nothing. Go. Nothing. There's no yin-yang. There's no, like, equal, like, powers of light and darkness. Name of Jesus, boom. I don't care how big and how strong and how nasty and how powerful you think you are. You got to go right now in Jesus' name. I also want to clarify this. In Jewish culture, this is thousands of years ago, pigs carried disease because of unsanitary, unhygienic health conditions, right? You know, every morning you got up and da-da-da-da-da and you picked up your bucket, you threw it out into the street, you threw it out into the ocean, you threw it out into the pig pen, and these pigs were in it, right? So they carried disease. And in Jewish law, they're like, hey, don't eat diseased things because you're going to die and be sick, and we don't want you to. So this was the law of that day. So they were disobeying the Jewish law, open the door through sin, and when there is sin, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right. Now, if you were a herdsman, you probably weren't very happy about this. So it says, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, and he was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Why? Why were they afraid? People tend to fear the most what they cannot control nor understand. Why are there so many churches teaching against Holy Spirit? Well, you can't control him. He sometimes does wild things. But he loves you. He's full of truth, love, joy, peace, healing, power. So they're afraid. Oh, no, don't you? Mm-mm. You know that whole Holy Spirit stuff. It stopped when the last apostle died. Well, why is he still, he's still rolling in his power? Okay, all right. All right. So it says this in verse 16, those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. What? The answer, the freedom, the healing, everything came with Jesus. And they're like, whoa, 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 I don't understand you. I can't control you. I don't know. This is a little wild. I just want you to go. Because they would rather hang on to the familiarity of their own sin than walk in total freedom. Repentance means to turn. Hear me? So I did a little research, and those pigs were up to the value of $150,000. Now, that was before inflation, so I don't even know now. Grocery prices. Bacon is so expensive now. Remember, bacon was not ex- I love bacon. I love it. Thank you, Jesus, for freeing us from the law. Okay. Thank you. I love it. All right, we had a laugh. This is intense. All right, now let's get to the happy ending here. It says, now this, as Jesus began to get into the boat to depart, the man, this is so beautiful, the man who had been set free from demons asked him, could I go with you? Jesus, wherever you're going, I want to go. Look at his heart. He's just been set free. Now look how Jesus honors his heart. I could cry because this was someone's son. This was someone's brother. This was someone's best friend. He left crowds to go set one person free for the call of God on his life. We read stories like they're fairy tales from thousands of years. This is a life. This is a person. Could I go with you? And Jesus answered no, but said to him, now listen, I had someone send me a really great message. It said, when God talks, don't hang up in the middle of the conversation. It was so good. It was good. Jesus said no, don't take it personal. Why? Listen, but why? He said this. Go back to your home and to your family and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them how he had mercy on you. Jesus in his passion, he loved this man so much to go so far out of his way for one person. And he was passionate about restoring this man to his family, to community, to friendships. I don't know how many years of his life was stolen. How many years of your life was stolen? Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, mental instability. I don't know, addiction, whatever it is. These things sever relationships, don't they? And Jesus goes, no. Do you know what's so important? You can follow me from any town you're in, right? I want to restore you to your family. I want to restore you to your mothers, to your brothers, to the community, the people that have been praying for you for years, the people that missed you so much that their heart broke when they saw you running around, stripped naked, out of your mind, howling into the mountainside. Said that he would howl, he would cry out and cut himself with stones day and night. Can you imagine if that was your son? Jesus goes, no, listen, I want you to follow me, but you stay in your hometown. I want to restore you to this. And it said this, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns in the region, then Syria, and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Jesus gave him, his identity was restored, his value was restored, his friendships, his family, his community was restored, and gave him a beautiful call of God. You tell everybody what I did for your life. Never be ashamed of your past. I don't know how crazy it is. You will reach people because God calls messy people that have been set free from so many horrific things to give you a story to go set other people free. Never be ashamed of your story. It preaches really well. They can say they don't believe in Jesus, but they can't say they don't believe in the change in your own life. How beautiful is this man? He left a huge crowd, crossed a storm, for one demonized man, and thousands of demons couldn't keep him to say, Jesus, I need you. Restored his sanity, his heart, his relationship, his family, and gave him a call. You go all over, you tell people about me. This is beautiful. God calls messy peoples. He's not afraid of your mess because your mess preaches really well. Amen. Jesus wants to use your story to set other people free. Jesus has given you the authority of his name. And you have authority over everything Jesus has set you free from. Amen? Amen. I left it a little early. Praise God. It can be done. I'll tell you what, let's stand up. Altar ministry can come forward. I want to give you just a couple key they're not formula. It's not a formula. It's not steps. It's just some keys to ministering for freedom. And whether it be from the outside voice, just the low self-esteem that's harassing you. You can't do this. You can't try out for the worship team. That's stupid. Oh, you're terrible at this. You're not that voice. Or it's something that's just been obsessing and tormenting and you don't feel like yourself. You haven't felt like yourself for years, weeks. Stole things from you. God wants to heal you, set you free, and restore everything Satan stole and double for your trouble. He wants to restore relationships. He wants to restore community and the calling of God in your life because Satan cannot steal the calling of God on your life. He'll just try to delay it. He can't steal it. So 7 just key steps real quick. And you're like, Sherry, these are so simple, but he's simple. Number 1. For someone that's not walking in freedom, you need to go pray for someone, or maybe it's yourself. You can just tell that voice. So you do this. Number 1, command the spirit to be quiet and stop manifesting. So for me, I was plagued by depression for years of my life. Stole a lot. So I come after that one hard. So when those thoughts come of depression, sadness, feeling lost, feeling like something's wrong with you, feeling misunderstood, in the name of Jesus, go. And don't come back. Okay? And then you just got to repent for any sin that's opened the door. Remember, when you hold on to anger and unforgiveness, by the way, forgiving someone doesn't say what they did to you was okay. They sinned against you. That's not okay. Forgiveness says, I will not let that control me, define me. I am not a victim. I am letting that go. I will not allow bitterness to change who I am and hurt the current relationships I'm in. I choose to forgive. I give it to you, Jesus. Sometimes you just got to bless them. Sometimes that's all you can say. God, I bless them that they would just come to know you. So repent. When you repent, it shuts the door that allowed access. Is it here? Number four, really simple. If they've never received Jesus, they need to receive Jesus, right? If you already have Jesus in your life, just recommit your life to him. Jesus, I'll just follow you all my days. You know what? I stepped away from you. I isolated from church and relationships. Jesus, oh, I surrender my life to you. Use me. Five, really simple. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, there's just more. Get back in overflow. Holy Spirit, just fill me up, overflow me, so I get so full of your love, your joy, your peace, and freedom that I can go tell my story to other people. Six, really simple. Get planted in the Word of God. Get that Word playing all the time. Those Bible apps, play it out loud. Get in worship. Renew your mind daily because it locks the door. Little pig, let me in. Nope, sorry, I repented, and I'm getting my mind renewed every day because an empty mind is the devil's playground. If you don't have your thoughts on him, he'll give you some ugly thoughts. Last one, really simple. You're like, Sherry, this is so simple. I said, yeah, simple, okay? Join a discipleship group. Join a grow group. Start one. Start just meeting with people at work going, you know what, over a 20-minute lunch break, we're going to have coffee and just share what's going on in lives and pray for each other. Let's grow. Okay. Everything else is going to happen next week. It is exactly 12 o'clock. Praise God. Liz, do you have something you wanted to share? Okay. Here. I'm just going to. Well, here, because for time, go ahead.
Okay. Just wanted to give you the testimony of what God is doing. Praise God. All the glory goes to him. Cancer is defeated.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to tell you, God healed my sister from cancer. He healed Jim's son from cancer. He has healed my son-in-law's mother. They sent her home on hospice to die. She's still living, and
Hallelujah.
This has been almost a year ago.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Now my daughter-in-law, her mother, she lives in France, and her doctors didn't expect her, because she has cancer. They said, well, she's got cancer. She's been on all these drugs and everything. They didn't expect her to recover. She's healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She's healed.
Amen.
So as a body, today I want you to say with your mouths to come into agreement and to declare defeat to cancer
yes.
and victory
yes.
over our lives.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We declare defeat to cancer.
We declare defeat to cancer.
And victory to our bodies.
And victory to our bodies.
Victory to our loved ones.
Victory to our loved ones.
And we give you all the glory and praise, Lord.
And we give you all the glory and praise, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen, the altars are open. If you'd like someone to pray for you, if you're dealing with cancer in your body, it's just a weird diagnosis, whatever, we'd love to pray for you and just release the healing power of God. If you're dealing with some tormenting thoughts, you know, listen, it just could be another voice, whatever it may be. We'd like to pray for you for that thing to just go. And so you can just walk in total freedom and healing. We'd love to pray for you. The altars are open. You are loved. You are dismissed. Amen.